Oh man. We don't have the Argentinian action figure with us today.
No.
We have the truth. We have Tony Notorious Noto back with us. I am thrilled.
I thought you were
going
to say Tiger.
Tony Notorious Tiger.
This is a long time coming. I missed you guys. I missed this audience. I miss covering the cannabis space. I'm on the Benzinga team, but cannabis is definitely the most fun. Mm-hmm. And I just adore it. So, and you're the best co-host I think I've ever had. You're probably the only one of two co-hosts I've ever had.
Yeah, I was like, how many co-hosts have you had here? Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Top two.
When I did college radio, I had a co-host then. But you definitely are better than that guy.
I love it. Thank you. First off, drop a one in the chat. If you have not been watching us long-term, Tony is one of the original hosts of Cannabis Insider, an hour, when it was called Cannabis Hour. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. Give you a quick history lesson, y'all. We started this in 2020. That we were the first show on Benzinga YouTube, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but around the first. This was started by Jason Raznick, our CEO, and my brother Patrick Lane, the EVP of sales, and then Alan Braxty of New Cannabis Ventures. They did approximately like two shows.
and then they passed it off to you.
It was to me and Jason. It was to Javi and Jason, Javi and Patrick, me and Javi, me and Patrick, all three of us at some points. There was way too much personality on one show.
And then we
ended up eventually perfecting it to 2.5 hours a week of amazing interviews. And we got one for everybody today. Patrick Rea, Managing Director of Poseidon Asset Management. That's going to be a ton of fun. However, Tony, we have missed you.
We have
missed you because you give wonderful insights. So you know what? I always turn it over to Javier to give us a few headlines. We'd go back and forth on it. What's on the top of your mind for cannabis happenings today?
Well, that's an easy one because like you, I'm a New Yorker. And there was big news out of New York this week. They threw out the Office of Cannabis Management throughout the date of August 25th. Which is when applications for conditional adult use retail dispensaries would start being accepted. And so that was a big story for New York, as it's one of, I think, 19 states. I could be mistaken.
Hey, man, overall thoughts on New York. I mean, you live there. And I got to tell you, we were just on with Abner Curtin, CEO of Ascend Wellness, on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Not great words for the state's program. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that they talked about Chris Alexander is sort of he's been making the media rounds talking about it, and they're really trying to do it right. Some states have been criticized for doing it wrong. I think New York is trying to build a solid foundation, and they want folks who have business expertise first outside of cannabis, which is tricky because if you have a cannabis record or a family member has a cannabis record, does that affect your ability to launch any business? And now they're expecting you to launch a cannabis business. So Chris Alexander had some questions to answer, and it became tricky. So a lot of people are raising the flag on that. Like, how do you just as any entrepreneur, you have to have a business in order to start a cannabis business. It seems a little unfair on paper.
Mm-hmm.
The way he talked about it was that it's their way of saying, look, we want to develop a solid market, a solid foundation here, and really, you know, have folks who have been hurt by the prohibition be able to now be successful by it.
Well, and one thing to point out here, y'all, if you didn't catch it, we did a fabulous panel last week with Sarah Chase from the CFCR, Christine De La Rosa, the People's Ecosystem, and Natalie Papillon from Last Prisoner Project about social equity. Christine saying the term social equity, she no longer uses it.
It's been
abused by the markets, by the states, by governments themselves. And she is a fan of the open market. So New Mexico, to her, is the true friend to the social equity applicant.
Interesting.
You know, so that just an interesting tidbit. If you guys want to go catch that, it's on our YouTube. We have great coverage of it on benzinga.com/cannabis. Before we get to Patrick, though, let's hit another couple storylines. What else we got for us?
Yeah, this one was interesting because it has to do with the NFL and Pfizer and how
they're what you're going to say.
They're the hidden sponsors of an anti-drug group fighting against cannabis legalization, which is on the website right now. Our friend and colleague Nina delved into this story. And it's so interesting considering one, well, not surprising on by Pfizer, but also that Krispy Kreme is in there as a name of a company that is anti-cannabis, but also the NFL, considering the amount of volume and just voices coming out of the athletes that are supportive of cannabis use as a therapy and an alternative to medicine. That kind of flies in the face to work with Pfizer on this initiative kind of flies in the face of that, and which is kind of upsetting. Yeah.
Now, the CADFCA or something like that. It's a weird acronym. It's like five letters. CADCA.
You got it. Yes, CADCA. Yeah.
Their tagline is building drug-free communities. Mm. Now, the question is, A, like how much of this was originally cannabis focused, right? Or was it wholesale? And then, of course, they're putting money against the marijuana reform aspect of it. But I'm just curious, is it all anti-cannabis or is it, you know, cannabis?
No, it lumps in a lot of things, but you know, it's very 1990s in the terms of the fact that cannabis is in there. You know, it reminds me of like the DARE program.
Yes. That sort of thing. You said 1990s and I could immediately picture the DARE logo.
Yeah, exactly. And I know it's, you know, is something that a lot of parents were in favor of back in the day, but you know, things are a little bit more nuanced now. So to lump cannabis in there, especially at a time when, you know, in a post OxyContin epidemic, or are we post, I don't know, people still abuse.
Oh yeah. It's definitely a crisis. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just think that it's a little tone deaf. So, that was a big that drew some eyeballs this week.
No, I love that. Also, shout out to Money Mitch, man. Thank you for being in the chat. If you're watching, drop a one in the chat. We want to say hey. Drop here. How about this? Preemptively, drop a question in the chat for one of the leading asset managers in the cannabis space in Poseidon Asset Management. We're going to have our managing director on here. Drop a question in the chat. We'll moderate it to him. We'd love to get you guys involved in this conversation. However, let's get one more storyline in here, Tony. What else you got for us?
Well, the key takeaways from a study that came out this week, when it comes to how cannabis affects users, opinions are practically reversed, with 53% saying marijuana has positive impacts on consumers and 45% negative. So I said 53, right? 53 say positive impacts, yes. 45 negative. So, you know, that's kind of, it reflects like a, I guess the polarity of the country. We're rarely on the same page about anything. But I think, you know, that's why having folks like Patrick on the show to talk about it, the business side of things and all the experts that this show has, it's super important. And, you know, I want to take this opportunity to give a shout out to the writers on the team. Follow them on social media, Nina, Yelena, Nicholas, Nathan, when it comes to, he's a psychedelics expert. Those are all important topics and to keep up with the news and to stay educated and abreast of all the current events. Those are important people to hear from.
Hey, so, man, yeah. We always give shout outs to benzinga.com/cannabis. So perfect one for us right there. It's like 40 articles a day. You guys are crazy over there.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of content that you come out with is awesome. So that being said, I think it's time. Why don't we do this? Why don't we have an awesome conversation here? I don't know if I want to talk about the funds or the ETF. I don't know. We'll talk about it all. Let's get him over. Patrick Rea, Managing Director of Poseidon Asset Management.
Welcome, Patrick.
We didn't warn you about the special guest edition there.
No, you didn't.
Patrick, what's up, man? Welcome in.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Dude, thrilled. Honestly, I think it's Morgan and you, correct, that do the 4 o'clock Twitter space?
Actually, it's Morgan and Tyler do the closing bell Twitter spaces. And then I've been running with one of the other folks at Poseidon, Cannabis VC Weekly Twitter spaces every Thursday. Usually after that, we sort of mix it up occasionally. where we just talk about venture, you know, the private companies in the cannabis industry, valuations, entrepreneurs, trends, the latest news, sort of like you guys did. We sort of pick out some headlines and talk about what they mean for the cannabis, the private markets, cannabis investor and entrepreneurs.
I love that. You have to stop doing it at 4 o'clock, though.
Fair enough.
No, it's fine, man. I'll try and catch the after episodes, though, because I love it. But anyways, Patrick, tell us about you, man. How did you become an investor in cannabis?
Well, I started out in working for a venture capital fund and investment bank in the natural products industry in 1997. You know, and I worked in that space, and I got myself out to Colorado in 2013. Everyone was staging up for cannabis legalization, adult use legalization in Colorado, January 1st, 2014. And I had some folks approach me and ask me what I thought about the industry and how I might engage. I told them, and they said, great, let's do it. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? But we figured it out. I started a business accelerator called Canopy Boulder in 2014. We made some of the first investments in the cannabis industry through a fund structure. We started companies like BDS Analytics, Work, Front Range Biosciences, Pot Guide, which sold to Fire and Flower. We started 115 companies in the cannabis industry. So that's how I got involved.
Jeez, ended up at one of the bigger asset managers out there as well. So
yeah.
I mean, can we dive into Poseidon a little bit? Now, sure. You all have been around for a while. The history is there. I think you have two closed funds. You have an ETF. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, man, where do we start? Where would it be good for you to start for our investors here?
Well, you know, I always have to be mindful about what I say, but I will say that Poseidon has one of the longest standing positive track records managing capital in the cannabis industry at you know, full stop. You know, we know, we've looked at the other funds, we know how they've done. And I think it speaks to the discipline and the hardworking, the positive energy that comes from Emily and Morgan, the two founders, who I had the pleasure of meeting at my first cannabis investor conference in January of 2014. We've been working together ever since, sitting on boards. It was nice to come together and start a new fund, the third fund at Poseidon. So yeah, I mean, there's little that they can't and we can as a team handle, figure out, or we've done it already since we've been investing in the space for 7-8 years. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot there.
Where is that bit? Sorry, Tony. I mean, I keep dominating the conversation. I'm just curious. Have you had like a through line for companies that you've been looking at in the cannabis space? Like, some are life sciences and tech, others actually like plant touching.
Right.
What do you guys look at?
Yeah, so the third fund that I manage, we look at cannabis technology and licensed operators, but early stage. We started this fund in 2021, and you know, the COVID had an interesting impact on the capital markets. They certainly heated up a lot of sectors, including cannabis. And valuations for private companies were through the roof. I mean, we were talking about 100 times ARR valuations for privately held tech companies. You know, it was very elevated, let's just say that. And it did definitely trickle down to cannabis. So we looked at all the overpriced deals and opportunities and deal flow in Series A and beyond. And we said, you know what, to get return for our investor, we're going to look earlier. So we've been looking at a pre-Series A technology, early stage licensed operators. We're very excited about the Southeast, which I don't think enough people are, the South and the Southeast, I don't think enough people are talking about, frankly, in the cannabis industry. Everybody's got their eyeballs and ears fixated on the Northeast. And I mean, there's a lot of news coming out of it, right? But quietly, while that's happening up there, there's a whole lot going down in the South, and I think it's going to be a lot more interesting.
Well, that's interesting. So talk a little bit about that. What is it going on in the South that maybe the Northeast should take a cue from?
Well, Florida, one of the largest markets in the U.S. for cannabis, period, is only medical, and we'll be turning on adult use in the next coming years. Georgia with some fits and starts on the license process. That's going to turn on soon. Mississippi is turned on. And Alabama is accepting applications. And then Texas is also making, you know, making progress. But step back from all that legalization. If you wonder if there is a real market down there, you just need to look at the Delta 8 sales that are flourishing there. I mean, that is a, you know, a canary in the coal mine, a signal in the noise, whatever you want to say. Products, D8 sales are through the roof down there. So the market's primed. I think we're going to learn that the South loves green. And it's going to be, you know, one of the sort of stimulants for the entire industry over the next couple of years.
Can I ask, when do you think of Delta 8? Can I be controversial here a little bit?
No, I don't. Yeah, I'm happy to answer the question. You know, I spent 15 years in the dietary supplement industry, so I saw a lot of different consumer products come to market, or some botanicals. Mm-hmm. Well, what I will say is that this was a process developed in like 2020. So there's not a lot of history of use of safety data, toxicity. You know, I think we can assume a lot of things, but, you know, we got to check on the safety data and make sure that we're not hurting the consumers who we need to support the industry, and not setting ourselves up for a good old USA Today front page story that shines a negative light on the industry. So I see it as a guidepost in what we're doing, but not really interested in investing in the space quite yet until there's more science, more safety studies.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense to me. So I kind of want to change directions a little bit. I'm looking at your page right now, the Poseidon Mastermind. Mm. So I'm just going to read the tagline here. Collaborative program for cannabis founders. Yeah. What is that exactly to you guys?
Yeah. So I ran a business accelerator modeled after Techstars for 7 years. So I am a active investor, mentor, coach. I mean, I lived it for 7 years, right? Every day, raising capital, deploying it, and helping founders do things. And I found that some of the best experiences for founders and the most learning came from when they were learning from one another. And so as part of our fund and our work at Poseidon, we've developed a mastermind group, which is essentially peer-to-peer help. We propose a topic, bring in an expert, and then the companies present on how they're navigating the issue or the problem or the opportunity, and allows them to learn from one another and build stronger relationships, because this cannabis industry stuff is hard and they need it. They need that intellectual support, emotional support, more so than almost, I think, in other industries where maybe there's a few more variables that are standard and maybe normalized. In this industry, cannabis, it's like a game of catching curveballs all the time.
What's like a case study that you can point to of, like, because I know you're tight-lipped, it's confidentiality mm-hmm. is one of the things you have to adhere to. What's like a case study of, like, what would a founder come to the Poseidon Mastermind for? Like, can you give us like a scenario? Because I know there's probably a lot of entrepreneurs watching this show who are so curious.
Great example. So I had a guy who was in a YPO group, and he would go to the meetings and they, you know, talk about a subject, bring in a speaker, and then they'd be networking. And, you know, maybe another YPO member would ask him, hey, what's keeping you up at night? He was like, well, I just lost my 6th bank account. I can't get a mortgage for my house because of my business, and, you know, like 3 more things. And, you know, the other guy would just look at him and be like, I don't think I can help you. So, you know, the issues that founders in the cannabis industry manage and have to deal with are unique. They're just not textbook. Mm-hmm. So I talk about intellectual support, business support, but also emotional support. In this journey.
That's so important.
Losing my house, man. Okay. It's a small problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real. It's real.
So I have a fun question. I'll let Tony wrap up if he has anything else. But favorite product as an investor, not that necessarily you've consumed, but that you've come across, that you've seen, what has, as one of the leading asset managers in the space, what is the one thing that caught your eye more than anything else? And I spurned this question on you, so if you want to take a second to think about it.
I mean, are you talking about consumer products?
Yeah, consumers, consumer products, brands, whatever it might be in that front.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be honest with you, there's not a lot. I think there's so much more road to be traveled by the industry that the products that we're seeing in the market today, we'll look back in 10 years and chuckle at them. They are first gen, and they have been born, birthed by great maverick founders that are doing the best they possibly can. But you know, I worked in the natural products, dietary supplement industry, the technologies, the food, the absorbability, the efficacy, bioavailability technologies that are being used in that space. They're starting to trickle into cannabis, but we all know that you know, that edible or that beverage or whatever that you're consuming, barely a third of it is probably actually being absorbed in your body. Wow. So there's a lot of waste. But you know, people are very happy to buy legal weed products, and that's great. But we need to, as an industry, start developing products that exceed expectations. And, you know, I'd say by and large, you know, one of the companies that's quite innovative in the space, they're always pushing the edge is Wana edibles, whether it's fast acting.
I interviewed the CEO. Yeah.
Yeah. Nancy's another Boulderite, a good friend who should probably get entered into the cannabis Entrepreneur Hall of Fame for that.
Yeah, she really should.
Constellation.
She's like the godmother of edibles, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at that deal that she cut with Canopy Growth Corp. I challenge you to find a better deal ever received by a founder in the space. She's a special person and an incredible business person.
And shout out, she's speaking twice at our Chicago September 13th and 14th Cannabis Capital Conference. She's going to be speaking on how brands are scaling outside of the MSO structure. Mm-hmm. And she's speaking to CSR in the industry and why it's important to have that platform and program in your company. Anyway, that's my shout out for Nancy. Awesome.
We bring in the heavy hitters for those things. And Nancy's definitely one of them.
Don't get me started.
On that topic, though, because Wana Brands is so prolific and she's such an expert, you know, and this is completely observational, but when somebody's trying out a cannabis product for the first time, do you have any feedback on brand loyalty? Because my impression is that people try a brand, they like it, and they just stick with it. It's not like, you know, a brand of liqueur or soda or anything else, really. Like, I feel like people are really, they're wed to certain brands. So like something from Wana Brands, for example, they tried it, they like it, they just stick with it. Like, what's the marketing angle? How do you get people to try different products in this industry? Well, how do you gain new clientele?
It's a great question. And what I would say is, I think what many know that are working on the front lines is there's not really a lot of brand loyalty in the cannabis industry. There's a brand awareness. But if you look at the data, the consumer purchasing patterns, there's a whole lot of experimentation still going on, a whole lot of new trial. Price is a major driver for a lot of that. And companies are figuring out that running specials and discounts really can get consumers to try new things. The other big lever in that is the influence of bud tenders and their ability to recommend new products. And now data science companies working with technology companies of point of sale systems to profile consumers and make recommendations spontaneously or feed those up to the bud tenders, because they can have a much more nuanced conversation with you when you walk into the store. They can look at your purchase history and make almost on the fly recommendations to the products that you would like. So the industry is getting a lot smarter and they're trying to build brand loyalty, but there's a whole lot of competition out there to get the attention of bud tenders who are the key influencers for consumer purchases.
It'll be helped to have companies like Spring Brig and literally companies focused on loyalty discussions with people's leads and data.
Yeah, there's two companies that that should be on people's radar. One is a company called Sparkplug, and they do, people should look it up. It's taking off. The brands love it. The brands pay to have, you know, the bud tenders educated, and then they track performance and do sort of spiffs back to them. And then Happy Cabbage is a company that's driving, it's sort of a team of data scientists working with all sorts of companies, point of sale companies, to make sure that they're making the best recommendations possible. So they can get the biggest basket sale for each consumer coming through the door.
I love that. Awesome. So Patrick, we are about out of time here, man. Any last words, any thoughts or wisdom you can impart to these investors that may potentially look at cannabis as a part of their portfolio? I mean, I know you can't say much given the ETF and no financial advice here, but man, yeah. any green grass here soon?
Yeah, you know, I think that, this industry has gone through, it's been a bit of a roller coaster, right? And, you know, being on the roller coaster once is fine, but if you stay on the roller coaster over and over again, sometimes you start getting a bit of a tummy ache, right? But what I'd say is this industry is going to a great place. We're doing good. These products are safe. They're incredibly efficacious, incredibly experiential. And, you know, there's very few data tables on consumers and their usage patterns that don't point to a positive direction. I mean, this industry is in many, many ways up and to the right, no matter what's happening in the public markets, right? And we know there's, you know, issues there with custody, sort of technical administrative issues that aren't necessarily tied to the health and wellness of the industry. So I just consider, and again, it's not advice, but when I think about it myself, I know there's a better day tomorrow.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, Patrick Rea, Managing Director of Poseidon Asset Management, thank you so much for joining us. Great conversation, man. Glad we had you on.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Patrick. All right, Tony, we are to the end of our line, man, but I got to tell you, this is the first of a few where we get to hang out together, right?
I will be filling in, pinch hitting for Javier on the next couple of shows. So, hey, anytime you invite me anywhere, I'm happy to be there.
Love it. Shout out to Jesse Hernandez and Mitch in the chat. I don't disagree, Jesse. You like companies who stand by their brand. Doesn't mean there's not room to improve, as always, for these companies. That being said, awesome conversation. We'll do this again early next week. Today's Thursday. So Tuesday, we're going to chat with the CEO of Flora Growth Corp, Luis Merchan, on their earnings that are announced next week, as well as I believe we'll have one other guest to be announced soon. Awesome. That being said, looking forward to it, my friend. Glad you're back with us, man.
Elliot, I had a great time. Thank you so much for having me.
We'll see you soon, guys.
Bye.